Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A local ceramics artist has had her work recognized by an exhibit in the Lieutenant Governor's office in Des Moines. Let's go in-depth with Amy Euthis from Knoxville.
Well, Amy, where are you from?
I grew up in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and I went to grad school in New Bedford, Massachusetts, and then I came here.
And what brought you here?
I got married to a guy who lives here, so.
Kyle,
yes.
And Kyle works for the police department.
Yes, he does, yep.
All right. And so a nice career opportunity for him, and
yeah.
You already had some things going in the area.
Yeah, he likes his department and the guys he works with a lot, and so we didn't really want to leave that, and it's close enough to all my contacts that I already made in Des Moines where we feel like it will be a good spot for both of us.
And you work in ceramics.
I do.
I guess I don't know how else to call it, but you do pottery and other kinds of ceramic art that I want to call sculptures. Is that right?
Yep. I do pottery, sculpture, and the third kind called installation.
Installation. Is that stuff you put on a wall? Or what is it?
Installation I would describe as taking a room and putting a piece of art in the room that takes control of the whole space. So when somebody walks in, it's not just they're seeing something hanging on the wall or a pedestal with a vase on top of it, and they look at the piece and they kind of put their feelings onto the piece and, oh, I like this or I don't like this, or they kind of react to the piece just sitting there statically. Whereas with installation, you've taken control of the whole space and you are trying to use the entire space to get the viewer to react in a certain way or have them leave the room with a certain feeling.
So are you trying to make us think one way or just be, you know, influenced to think in general, or what's your goal?
I guess with my installations in particular, I like people to come into the room and leave with a sense of peace. I feel like a lot of people in today's world are so busy and so distracted by other things. And I mean, we have our phones and we have all these opportunities to be busy, busy, busy every single minute of every single day. And there's always something that we can be looking at or doing or listening to or checking on our phones. And I feel like if you can get people to walk into a space and become so absorbed in their experience that they forget about all the tiny little minutiae that can get really overwhelming, I think, and get them to walk out the door and feel a sense of peace and maybe a little bit of a reprieve from the daily grind and all the little things that add up over time. That's kind of my goal, is to get people to walk in and be overwhelmed, I guess, by what they see to the point where they forget about everything else and kind of let go of their worries and their everyday trouble and then leave feeling more at peace.
Now, I've had the opportunity to see some of your work on the internet, and so correct me if I'm wrong, but and some of it's quite big,
mm-hmm.
and you're using, not all of it, of course, but you're using mass and texture and form and color in a unique way to try to bring us that sense of peace.
Sure. With my porcelain installations in particular, they are typically super, super thin porcelain panels. They might only be 2 or 3 millimeters thick. And so they're so thin that you can see color through the porcelain. So if you put your hand behind one of my porcelain panels, you'll be able to see the color of your skin through the porcelain. So to me, there's a few different things that are pretty magical about that. Porcelain is clay, so it came from the earth, and it's technically not dirt, but a lot of people think that clay is dirt. And so there's the element of taking something regarded as dirt and making it so pure that you can literally see color and light through it. I think that that's pretty neat. I typically don't use imagery at all in my porcelain panels. It's just different textures. And people will ascribe different different words for what they think it is. A lot of people have told me, well, I think this looks like cracked earth, or this looks like ice, or this looks like elephant skin, this looks like parchment. A lot of people, depending on the person and what they see in it, they'll come up with a different word to describe the porcelain. A lot of people see it and they don't realize that they're looking at clay unless they've read the label on the gallery wall. And so I think to take the clay to that kind of a level where people aren't really even sure what it is that they're looking at, and there's no imagery there to guide them, it really draws them into the piece, and they have to think about it. What is this that I'm looking at? And a lot of people will just right away think it's pretty neat, and maybe some people will criticize me for using it as a gimmick to get people to look at my art, but I don't have any problem with that. I think when I look at art, I always try to think, what is this, and how did they make it, and kind of how does that relate to my set of beliefs and what I think about the world. And so by making these kind of highly translucent and highly textured panels, it allows people to kind of put themselves into the work, because I haven't given them very much to work with, and they have to kind of put themselves in there and then see what they get back out of it.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Amy Euthis, a local ceramics artist.
Well, it sounds like sometimes they get surprises out of it, but mm-hmm. isn't that part of what, I mean, the purpose of art is to inform and surprise and, I don't know, influence in one way or another. And I just think surprises in art are sort of fun and interesting. They're intellectually engaging, right?
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, I think anytime you see art that's a little bit different, you're going to spend more time looking at it and thinking about it. And so I hope that that is something that I can accomplish with my work.
Is any of your work functional? I mean, in like an everyday life sense, do you get into that? I know some people that work with ceramics really love that. And, mm-hmm. and then there's people like me that love to use it. But is it fair to say that distinction between something that's decorative versus something that's functional in an everyday kind of way? Do you do both?
Sure. Yeah, well, it depends on your definition of function. If you want to use function as something that you literally pick up and carry around with you and use to drink coffee out of or something like that, I would classify that as pottery. And specifically functional pottery, there's pottery that is also just more decorative, as you would say. But yes, I do make cups and bowls and mugs and things that you can use to.
Now, I'm sure what I've done here is just, you know, with my ignorance of, you know, ceramic theory and all and the art world and stuff, is I probably need, you know, a lot of coursework to understand, you know, all of this, all the relationships of the different ways people express themselves with ceramics. What am I not getting? Tell me, what am I not getting with this?
I guess a lot of people don't really understand that there's other ways to use clay beyond just a functional mug. And really, even getting people to understand all the work that goes into making just a functional mug is pretty hard sometimes, because you can go to Walmart and you can buy a mug for $1. And so then people don't really understand why a handmade mug is different than one that you can buy for $1 at Walmart. And so you have to kind of educate people about, well, I have to buy the clay, I have to pay for the firing, have to pay for the glazes that go on it. All of those materials alone add up to more than $1. But then there's all the time that was spent in learning how to make the mug and learning how to make that particular form and use the form with the glazes in a way to make it beautiful. And people don't really understand that that in itself is an art form. And so that's something that I think, if we can get art education into the schools and make that be important, then people will start to understand. They'll grow up with it, and they'll understand later in life why a mug at an art fair might cost $25 or $30, and they'll say, oh, that is worth it, and I should pay that, because they know the whole process behind making that piece of art.
But, I mean, even the $25 or $30, that's, I mean, it's worth much more than that, the education, the experience, the years and years of practice to make this thing a piece of art as opposed to something you buy at Walmart. It's just, you don't take the canvas of a fine European master, only costs a couple bucks, and the paint's $5. It's, you don't pay, you know, 10 or 20 bucks for a beautiful painting.
For some reason, ceramic artists don't get the same credit for the amount of work they have done to learn their trade as painters and printmakers and people who do drawings. I'm not really sure why that is, but that's how it is right now.
Well, maybe it has to go back to the depths of the use of ceramics throughout, you know, history and prehistory. It's sort of a, it's something, you know, that was a household endeavor for millennia, right?
That's true, yeah.
Sort of embedded where painting maybe. I don't know, it was just very interesting.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Amy Euthis, a local ceramics artist.
You have recently received some recognition for your work from the governor. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. Another project that I did was I made some large-scale ceramic vessels. They're 40 inches high and 26 inches in diameter, so they're pretty large. And one of them was selected to be part of the women's art exhibit in the Lieutenant Governor's office at the Capitol.
And that's pretty neat.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
And so how long will it be on display?
It will be there through December.
Can we just walk up there, knock on the door, and go look?
As long as they're not having meetings in there, yeah. I know of one person in particular who wrote on Facebook that they just went up there with their kids and went and saw it and took pictures by it. And
what's special about that piece?
That piece is, I call it a sentinel, and so it's... it's kind of a watcher, and I made a series of eight of them, and I really like the wide open spaces of the plains and the prairies. I mean, this is the landscape that I grew up in, you know, a huge sky, and you can see for miles and miles. So I made these sentinels, again, which is their clay, so it came from the earth, and then I took, my sister and I actually rented a U-Haul van, and we... piled all the sentinels in the back of the U-Haul van, and we drove them around outside to different fields, and we took pictures of them, kind of looking over the prairie and looking over fields. So the project was a combination of the sentinels themselves, but also the sentinels out in the landscape, watching over the land. And so what my goal with the sentinels was to kind of invite people to watch over the land as well.
What's the importance to you of art, and then especially art education for kids?
I think art is really, really, really important. People don't give art enough credit, I don't think. I just heard a statistic, I can't remember what it was exactly, but it was something like the arts are one of the only, if not the only, category of spending where the government actually makes money back for every dollar they put in. I think they get like $7 or $9 return. And so you look at it, and it's like, that's what we should be investing in. If you're running the government like you're running a business, you should be investing in things that make you money. And then you can use that return to pay for things that you don't make money on but are still necessary. And instead, art funding is getting slashed. And so to me, it's kind of like people don't always look at what the actual benefits of art are, not just monetarily, as far as getting a return on your dollar, but also what it can do for people. You know, there's a lot of kids out there who don't have any resources. They don't have a good family life. They don't have XYZ, you name it. You know, there's kids out there who are struggling, and for them, art might be their only means of self-expression or therapy, escape from their home life. And I just think that we need to give kids every chance they can have to kind of reach their full potential. And a way to do that, I think, is through art. And I believe really strongly that art can do great things for kids. There's a program in Des Moines called ASAP, After School Art Program. And I've taught with them a few different times, and they do really great things. They go into low-income schools and get kids that have been recommended by their teachers for extra attention, or maybe they've displayed a little bit of extra potential for art. Maybe they turn in their math papers with doodles on them or something like that. And so ASAP takes these kids and they pull in professional artists, and the artist teaches a small group of children for 6 or 8 weeks after school. And so then these kids, they get extra attention, they feel special, they learn how to do something unique, and they get the creative outlet that they need. And then ASAP has shown that it improves their math and their reading scores. Having the extra art actually improves their other scores in school. And so it's a pretty neat program, and I think Michelle Bolton King just won the Governor's Award for the Arts recently. And so they're doing really, really great things, and I think that that's a good program, and I would love to see it expanded beyond just Des Moines into the whole state, or, you know, if there's a way to get it national. I think that it's a really great program.
It seems like the world sort of divides us up into artists and not artists.
Mm-hmm.
But aren't we really all artists? Just somehow something's been, you know, sort of stripped from us?
Yes, I think so. You know, you look at little kids, and all little kids seem to like to color, and they like to draw, and I haven't met a kid who doesn't like Play-Doh. You know, I'm sure they're out there, but it's not very often. And I look back when I was in kindergarten, and I remember being told in kindergarten that I was not coloring correctly, because I was coloring in a scribble, in a circular motion, and you were supposed to color from side to side in straight lines. And I'm sure I went home and told my mom, and I'm sure my mom's response was, color however you want. My mom is an artist too, and so there's no way she would have ever let something like that get me down. But if you don't have someone at home who supports you in art, something like that could be the end of it. In kindergarten, you could be done. Oh, I didn't color right now. I don't know how to make art. And so you just stop doing it. And I think that maybe, you know, not that specific experience, but something like that I do think happens pretty often to people, where they feel like art is this unapproachable thing, and for some reason or another, they've had an experience that makes them scared of it.
So it's okay if we color anyway we want to?
Yes.
Thanks to Amy Uthas for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.